Evening all. Hope you've all got a drink at hand. We're on the ghost ship tonight. Cheers. Good health to you. Oh, that's better. Right, let's crack on. Let's do some music. Two people showing up so far. Do give us a wave. Introduce yourself if you're here. Talk amongst yourselves. Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hub. Mistletoe hung, you can see everyone, every couple tries to stop. Rocking around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring. Later we'll have some pumpkin pie, do some caroling. You will get a sentimental feeling when you hear voices singing, let's be jolly, deck the halls with boughs of holly, rocking around the Christmas tree, have a happy holiday. Everyone dancing merrily in the new old-fashioned way. Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hub. Mistletoe hung, you can see everyone, every couple tries to stop. Rocking around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring. Later we'll have some pumpkin pie, we can do some caroling. You will get a sentimental feeling when you hear voices singing, let's be jolly, deck the halls with boughs of holly, rocking around the Christmas tree, have a happy holiday. Everyone dancing merrily in the new old-fashioned way. Merry Christmas. Don't worry, I'm not going to be doing a whole hour of Christmas carols. I'm not feeling very Christmassy at all, to be honest with you. Eleanor came up and from London. She's come up a little bit early because she's worried about the COVID situation down there. She was going to come up on Christmas Eve, but she came up last night and it was good because we were able to go out and actually do the Christmas... Christmas shopping, make it start. Well, we've got most of it anyway. Yeah, because I'm having it here with her and her mum. So that's going to be really nice. So we bought most of the food today and a few nice things. And I haven't got a tree up. I've got one card up from my auntie and her partner over in France. And that's it. No tree up, nothing. So yes, I am the Grinch, but... officially. And at the weekend I had three gigs booked. One of them got cancelled, but I did a private party on Friday, and it was okay. It was a works do and they were all pretty merry and they were singing along to stuff I did, and I opened up with that with that last song. And as soon as I finished, I said, look, don't expect a full set of Christmas songs. I only know a small handful. Apparently during halfway through the gig, they did mention to them, isn't he not going to do any more Christmas songs? And I said, I've done like four or five, you know. And I think that's the problem with a lot of us covers musicians, you know. We're not singing Santas, most of us. Most of us only know like four or five Christmas songs, don't we, you know. But whenever you do a gig around Christmas time, everyone gets excited. They kind of expect you to, you know, to just roll out all these Christmas carols and stuff like that. And, it certainly ain't going to happen for me. I think next year I'm going to have to make it a bit clearer. Christmas gigs, do not expect me to be singing Santa. I will not be jumping down the chimney handing out presents, you know. reciting Jingle Bells and Good King Quenceless and all of that. So, yeah. Anyway, I thought I'd open up with that. Mr. Sexton. Hey, it's me, James Sexton. What was that song? I don't know, mate. Perhaps they don't have that in Germany. Perhaps you know, that isn't a well-known German Christmas tune. James, are you going to be able to come over still? Because there's I know that you're thinking of coming over, obviously, to come and see your parents at Christmas period. But I know that's a bit of a problem with the travel, isn't there? I know that they're not letting people from here go over, but obviously you being a German citizen, I hope you don't have to isolate. Just let us know either way, mate, because looking forward to seeing you. Fuck Christmas, says Fred Shaw. Nice one, mate. Yes. Yes, I'm glad a few people are into Christmas as much as I am. See, when you have young kids, it's great, you know. It's a bit of magic in the air, you know. You know, it's you can watch some Christmas films, you can, you know, get excited about it, but yeah, but it's just me and the cat. There hasn't been any point in putting up any Christmas decorations, but I will have to make the effort for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, Boxing Day at least. So anyway, heading back on to what we're going to be doing tonight, I'm going to try and cram in quite a lot, really. I just want to conclude. Right, let me just read this message from James. Let me see, because I really need to read that. No, mate, I've had to cancel. We're looking forward to meeting up, but I'll have to quarantine for 2 weeks when I got back. Yeah, that's no good, is it? I mean, that's just too long. You miss out on too much work. It'll just completely screw up your life and probably cost you a fortune as well. It's a real shame, Jim. We're really looking forward to seeing you, mate, but totally understand. Very difficult times. Very difficult times indeed. And I hope you can get over soon anyway. Yeah, it's crazy what's going on at the moment. And we've just got to sit tight and try and ride it out, haven't we? Anyway, I digress. Tonight, going to be concluding talking about the years collaborating with Mark Gill. And there's a lot to cover, really. I think I sort of got to sort of 2006, 2007-ish, when I just released the album Weather the Storm. And it was a really rough time for me, and I wasn't in a good place at all around that time, and very messed up, and it was a really, really tough couple of years, really. But me and Mark, we were thick as thieves then. You know, we'd obviously got a musical partnership. We had a quite a good support network between us, because he suffered from really bad panic attacks, and I suffered from really bad anxiety attacks. So we both understood exactly what the other person was going through, and we still do. I mean, I can message Mark anytime, and he'll know exactly where I am in terms of levels of my anxiety, and he can message me and say, I've had a bad one yesterday, mate, you know. And it was a kind of bond that we had, but equally we were kind of like a bad influence on each other as well, because it would be like, fuck it, let's just go down the pub and have a game of pool and, you know, and forget about it, or you know, there was always an excuse to go down the pub, always. You know, if I was in a bad mood or I was depressed, I'd end up in one of the pubs in Rothwell where I was living, just to get out of the house. Or if I was celebrating, I would go out because I was in a good mood, you know. Or I'd go down there to write lyrics, you know. And yeah, it was just the way it was, really. So that kind of didn't help that I was always being out in the pub on top of everything else. Mark and I were very busy doing open mics around that time. Many of you will remember the open mics at the Royal Charter, which are pretty legendary. And I think we did them on a Wednesday. And then on a Thursday, it was alternated between Max Bar in Kettering and the night that we ran at Olives in Leicester, and started doing all these always with Mark on board. We were always this sort of two of us running the show sort of thing. And Nick was helping out as well, my brother, on sound at Olives. I was never doing these open mic sessions on my own. There was always him or Nick and both sort of on board. And yeah, it became a Well, it became very messy nights, you know. Obviously, if I was doing Max Bar, I was generally having to drive back because I wasn't drinking then, but quite often we'd get a taxi back. I remember one time we were there and we kind of got persuaded by all these lads who were from Sunderland, I think it was. They were staying in a hotel in Kettering, and they just persuaded us to sort of have a bit of a late one with them, and we kind of got locked into the bar with them, and they just kept giving us an extra 20 quid to do another hour, and the money kept coming and the beers kept flowing, and we played until it was light, you know, and I didn't go to work the next day, and that's the kind of situations that we'd find ourselves in, really. And when we were in Leicester, we'd always go out afterwards as soon as the open mic night at Olive's finished, and we'd end up in the Lansdowne bar, or we'd end up in Firebug, and we'd stay at my mum's, and that would be on a Thursday night, and I'd wake up late, hungover for work, go in the office, struggle through, get back on a Friday night. You know, we might be out gigging on a Friday night, or I might just be at home and have a bottle of wine, and then we'd end up just drinking all weekend, particularly if there was a festival on. We'd be on it all weekend, and that's what we did, you know. There was always an excuse to party, and for me it was just trying to, like, I don't know, I was just sort of drowning a little bit, I guess. I kind of like trying to get out of this horrible kind of emotional place that I was in, really, but having a great time, trying to get the balance between having a fucking great time playing music with loads of friends, loads of people coming to our mic nights, and also sort of coping with the anxiety that followed when you had a really bad hungover the next day. What do? You're just lying there dying, you know. You need to get to the pub and take the edge off it, and that's what it was like. And Mark was always there with me. He was always there for the hair of the dog, you know. Yeah, we really did have some. Sometimes we'd end up staying at my mum's in Leicester, and still be there on a Sunday, going out down the pubs down Queen's Road, you know. Anyway, I'm going to play a song that kind of typifies that time that I've dug out, and I haven't done this for a long time, but this kind of typifies the sort of party atmosphere, I suppose, or sort of rock and roll atmosphere that we were in. Been a long time to love me, been a long time to care. Been a long time to love me now, honey, and finally you're here. Been a long time to show me, been a long time to cry. Been a long time to show me now, honey, and you know that's not a lie. And in the morning, what kind of person will you be? And in the morning, no, don't go it on me. Been a long night, honey. Been a long journey home. Been a lot of wild conversation, and now we are alone. We won't need no whiskey. We won't need no wine. But come on now and move a little closer, and I know that we'll get high. In the morning, what kind of person will I be? And in the morning, don't go it on me. The bar will soon be closing, DJ winding down, taxi queue and a lost shoe, someone falling down. We won't need no whiskey by my fireside. Feel the heat, we won't get no sleep, and the sun is gonna rise. And in the morning, what kind fret buzz on there. What are you, my guitar looking at? Yeah, I haven't done that one for a while. Don't go weird on me. At the time, also, we started playing with Sean a lot. Sean Crutterham, our good friend, harmonica player. And we formed a really good trio with him. And he used to play on that. And if you listen to some of the earlier versions in the vault, you'll hear him playing on that. At the live, he featured on the Live Musician and our first CD, DVD on that. So yeah, he was always with us, and we were doing a lot of gigs in pubs all over the Victorian in Northampton, various ones around Leicestershire. I can't remember half of them. It's all a bit of a blur, really, strangely enough. And yeah, we used to go down to the Woolpack in Rothwell. Our friend Jim Hale put on a really good jam night down there, and it was always a bit hairy. It was a bit of a strange place at the time. There was a lot of, I don't know, there was a lot of cocaine kicking around at the time in Rothwell around that period. And half the pub felt like they were going to kick off with violence because they were all wired on snow. And then the half of us were just trying to rock out and play some blues and have an open mic. And it was a weird, it sort of created quite an edgy atmosphere. It probably helped with the with some of the sort of music that we produced. And Jim's a great guy. We've known Jim for years. I haven't seen him for a while, but he's a real rocker, and runs a good open mic. And you know, we had some terrific nights in there. We really did. And yeah, we're all into that kind of bluesy kind of sound at the time. And obviously I was listening to Ryan Adams and that kind of the influence that we had. There's a lot of blues there, and that was a bit of an influence which came out in that song, so nice to dig that one out tonight. So when we're doing all these different open mics and stuff, we were building up quite a big following, and we used to have Julia used to run a minibus from Kettering and bring people over to Rothwell whenever we had the night there, and it was packed. And we used to pack the Royal Charter out quite regularly on a Wednesday, and then people would join us again on the Thursday for a second helping. And they were legendary nights, they really were. Some really terrific nights. And, you know, we met loads of friends around that time, and, you know, that's when we first started having featured artists as well. So we were getting artists down from all over. That's when we first met our friends, the Abrahams. There's Stevie Rigsby there, Stuart O'Connor. There's so many people that are, you know. If you go to the Wildfire Sessions page and scroll back through, you might find some old photos, videos, and posters from around that time. And we ended up doing a gig at the Musician in summer 2009, I think it was. And if you look at it, that's actually on YouTube of that one, because we did release a live album and a DVD on the back of it, and it shows you how many people were there who were into what me and Mark and Sean were doing at the time, and it captures a really good night on that video. And we had a cracking set, we really did, as a duo stroke trio. We were tight as anything. So I'm going to play you a song from around that time. This is actually featured in the set. Don't play harmonica very often. Been a while since I played this one as well. This song actually featured two harmonicas in the version that we used to do with Sean. Thank you. Baby, move on. Oh, please try and understand. I can't take this on. It's falling through my hands, and I'm not the one. I can be who you want, who you want me to be. Oh, baby, move on. All of us want castles and fairy tales, a little house and roses round the door. We spend our whole lives dreaming. We want a little more. But my life is in a direction. I carry a heavy load. I know you need my attention, and I can give. So let me go. So baby, move on. Oh, please try and understand. No, I can't take this on. It's falling through my hands. No, I'm not the one. I can't be who you want, you want me to be. Oh, baby, move on. And fairy tales, a little house and roses round the door. We spend our whole lives dreaming. We want a little more. So baby, move on. Oh, please try and understand. No, I can't take this on. Everybody hurts, everybody cries, everybody needs someone, and everybody cries. Baby, move on. Yeah, like I say, that the live version features two harmonicas, and we did go on to perform it as a full band as well, in one of the earlier incarnations of the Wildfires. I haven't done it in a long time. You never know, that might creep back into the set. Let me know if you think that should be in the Wildfires set in 2021. If it's a thumbs up, and enough of you say yes, I might well put it back in there. You never know. So that song, yeah, it was that is one of my favourite songs that just came out. I think it was quite heavily influenced by John Mayer musically, because I listened to him a lot of the time. John Mayer and Ezio. But also, I didn't really want a relationship. Obviously, I'd just come out of like about 9 years of two consecutive ones where I wasn't in the best place at the end of it. So I wanted to be single, and I was learning to be single, and learning not to throw myself into a relationship. And that song was kind of going from the angle of meeting someone who you kind of got feelings for, but just wanted to say, look, hold on a minute, I'm just not quite ready for this. You're really lovely, but I'm not in a good place. And you know, that's what that song was about. You know, and I had to say it a few times, and I had a few people say it to me, and I still do, you know, and that's how it is. You shouldn't throw yourself into a relationship if either of you are ready. It isn't healthy, you know, and I learned that. I learned it the bloody hard way. So yeah, very proud of that song. And yeah, I'll just jump straight into another song, I think. Why not? It's really good to dig these old ones out, you know. This is why I love doing these sessions, because it just gives me a chance to air them, you know. I'm not going to be playing them in a pub at a covers gig, and I get limited opportunities, you know, to do, you know, sort of little showcase original gigs where it's worth digging out these old ones. So this is a song. That song was kind of about saying no, I'm not ready. And this next one is sort of based on a one night stand, really, with someone who was pretty awesome, who I never saw again.
Like someone I already know. You say you love the way I touch your skin. We talk, we laugh, we let it all in. It's only been a few hours. It's only been circumstance. It's only been a few heartbeats. Second glance. You say you love the way I touch your hair. We swap the light between our eyes. I love the sugar sweet sweat that we share. It burns, it craves, it breaks down our disguise. It's only been a few hours. It's only been circumstance. It's only been a few heartbeats. Just a second glance. A second glance. So we get up and we're half awake. I go to work, you're working late. We swap our numbers on our phones. I call you back and then I go. And I will walk out into the rain with a great big smile on your face. And I am walking in the glow, and you feel like someone I already know. And I am walking in the glow, and you feel like someone I already know. And I am walking in the glow, and you feel like someone I already know. Let's just someone I already know. I am walking in the glow and you feel like someone I already know.
Yeah. That song's called Glow. That song's called Glow, yeah. And I can't remember the name of the girl that I based that on, but she was a very nice nurse who I met at the Lansdowne one night, and I liked her. And we had a good night, and we went back to her place, and it was all wonderful. And I messaged her the following day, and I got a nice message back, and then I left her a few days and messaged her again, and she kind of just, nah, that was it, mate. You know, that was it. We had a nice night, you know. Yeah, just one of those memories. It happens. So, where were we? Where were we? Who's on there? Simon Waters. Yes, it's also an expensive head fuck. Yes, it is. It is. Simon, very nice to see you on here, mate. I've been thinking about you, actually, because that carving that you've done, I think I mentioned it before about possible artwork for the next album. It's up there, mate. I looked at it and I definitely want to use it. So, yeah, I'll talk to you about that in due course, but it's such a great image. Yeah, Simon, who's online now, he's a very talented guy. He's a woodcarver and he's done this amazing wood carving that I really want to use as the front cover of the next album, basically. So keep an eye on that, because I have been writing quite a few songs for the next album. They're coming together. I've probably got about 10 now. Well, probably 8 that are finished and sort of 2 that need finishing off. The band has still got here some of them. There'll be a couple of acoustic tracks as well. So there may be a few more. I think I might have mentioned it before. We've penciled in a couple of weekends in January to get rolling with getting the guide tracks down for these. So let's hope there's no fucking lockdowns that put the brakes on that one, because I really want to get cracking on this third album. So yeah, where was I? Touring. Yes, around that time we did actually go on tour. We did a couple of a couple of little mini tours, should I say. We weren't just touring around the pubs of Leicester and Rothwell and Kettering. I was doing bits of online dating at the time, because I was single and I wanted to, you know, go out there and meet people and, you know, just see how I felt. And sometimes the following years after when I became single, it was like, you know, most of the time I was really happy being single, and other times I was like, no, I really like to meet someone and have that bond again, you know. So I would, you know, I'd go on dating sites and kind of meet people and just sort of see how it went, really. And bizarrely, through a girl who I was seeing off Plenty of Fish site, was how I ended up meeting Janet Robin, who me and Mark went and toured with. Because one day I got this email from this American woman saying, "Hi, my name is Janet Robin, and I'm from Los Angeles, experienced musician and guitarist, and I'm going to be touring. And I got your number through Chris, through Julie or through Chris? No, it was through Julie, who was a friend of Chris, and Chris was who I met off Plenty of Fish. Now, you know, had I not done the dating thing on Plenty of Fish, then we wouldn't have toured with Janet Robin. And basically checked out Janet Robin's site, and yeah, fantastic musician, toured with Lindsey Buckingham Band, amazing guitarist. And yeah, through that contact, Janet and me had that bridge, and I set up some gigs for Janet, and me and Mark went out with her. And the first tour that we did with Janet, we did, I think, 4 dates. I think that was in 2000 and, God, when was it? Can't remember now, 2010, 2011, something like that. And we did a warm-up gig at the Royal Charter, followed by gigs in Portsmouth, Barnard Castle, believe it, Hillary, or not, in some hall. I'll have to find out where it was. And then the Sound House in Leicester. Now, if you think about where those places are located, it's a bit weird, really, because we're playing Rothwell, all the way down to Portsmouth, all the way up to right up north in Barnard Castle, and then back down at Leicester. And it was me who was driving. Yes, me. And I had to go and drop Janet off as well in Rushden and do all the driving, and it was fucking knackering, you know. And an experience. It's very stressful. We had very limited rehearsal time with Janet. We were incredibly nervous. And Janet was nervous about us as well. She wasn't in a good place back then as well. Her relationship status was, you know, was a bit unstable, and we didn't know her, you know, and she just seemed like a bit of a scary diva at times, you know. And obviously over the years when I got to know her, I loved her to bits, and it was just like, it was a very strange time and a very mixed bag with those gigs. The gig in Portsmouth was like a house concert type booking thing. It was booked by a fan of hers, really, because Janet had been coming over to Europe a few times before to do various gigs, and this fan had booked her a gig at Masonic Hall in Portsmouth. And we got there, and she said, "Don't worry, I've got a PA. Also, you don't need to bring anything. I've got a PA already set up there for you." And we turn up in this Masonic Hall in some suburb of Portsmouth. And the PA was like something that you'd use for a tannoy system in World War II, you know, fucking huge speakers, loads of amps, no leads really, no instructions. It was really bizarre. It was just so fucking bizarre. Anyway, we said, "How the hell does this thing work?" We brought mics, you know, I think, but there's no other connecting leads and things like that. And this woman was on the phone to this bloke who was on holiday. The bloke who knew how to run the PA was on holiday. Very thoughtful. So we couldn't use the fucking PA. Thankfully, I brought down my monitor, and we in this Masonic Hall, we just had my 300-watt Wharfdale. We went through it like through that. And you can imagine, like, oh, it was just, Janet wasn't happy. Wasn't happy at all. It was so fucking stressful. And then we had to drive all the way back up to Rothwell, drop her off in Rushden. And the next day, I drive all the way up to Barnard Castle to do this gig, like I say, Hillary, in this village hall, which was a good gig, actually. That was one of the better ones. And then the final night was at the Sound House in Leicester with our friends the Branstown Band, they were called. It was Luke and Jake and their band, and they were fantastic, and we... I think Julia brought the minibus up that evening as well. And a lot of those, if you look on Stevie Jones and Mark Gill in the vault, there'll be links to the videos from that night. And Janet's got some links as well. If you type up Janet Robin Soundhouse Leicester, it'll come up with some clips from that show, which it was a really good show, actually. It was really good. But yeah, that was our tour with Janet Robin. I'll play another song, or not, and I'll tell you about the next tour. Hey, Mottheads, nice to see you. How you keeping? Haven't seen you since the back garden of the Black Prince, when we played outdoors. Hope you're keeping all right. This is called Sometimes Love Is Not Enough. Can be said and done as soon as chances put us in. They rip us apart forever.
Sometimes love it is not enough. Sometimes love it is not enough. Sometimes love it is not enough to save the love we love. On a warm summer day, I got an open heart. I got memories, but they fade just like stars. Like a raindrop, a snowflake, like a diamond that's made of ice, it disappears forever. Sometimes love it is not enough. Sometimes love it is not enough. Sometimes love it is not enough to save the love we love. So good, but we can't fake it. So good, but the pieces just don't fit. Sometimes love it is not enough. Sometimes love it is not enough. Sometimes love it is not enough to see the love we love. Sometimes love it is not enough. Sometimes love it is not enough. Sometimes love it is not enough to see the love we love. You know that it's so good, we can't fake it. So good, pieces just don't fit. Sometimes love it is not enough. Sometimes love it is not enough. Sometimes love it is not enough to save the love we love.
Sometimes love is not enough. How we doing? We all right? Are you still there? Still five people watching. Everyone's wrapping their Christmas presents up. I'd just like to say a big thank you to everyone who has... There's only another five of you watching you, but I'm watching it. But big thank you to everyone who supported me this year on this live stream and donated as well through the hard times. You know, who knows what's going to happen with all the gigs around the corner. You know, I had one cancellation but might have more, you know. Any donations that you can give, you know, it's just really, really appreciated. You know, it really is. You know, even if you're just chucking £4, a fiver, buy a CD, buy a shirt, anything, you know. And I really appreciate everyone who's donated and supported me throughout the whole of the lockdown and you know, and beyond. You know, it means so much. And keeps me buying guitar strings and website subscription, you know. Keeps things going. So yeah, thank you very much indeed. Right, where was I? Oh yes, touring. We also did a little tour of Ireland. We were in touch with my friend Russ, who I'd met in Germany all those years before, and he'd moved to Kilkenny, and he was living in a town called Thomastown. Funny enough, where John Martin also resided when John Martin was alive. John Martin used to go down to this pub where Russ ran an open mic. And he said, come over. You never know, John might be there. He wasn't when we got there, but anyway, that was by the by. It was kind of like, wow, we can go and play in this pub where John Martin is. He might be there. And we set up a few gigs over there. I think two or three shows over in Ireland. I thought, great. Went in with you to book the flights for them, Mark. And he went, I'm not flying, mate. I went, what? He goes, no, no, I just can't do it. You know, it's my anxiety. You know, I'll have a panic attack on the plane. He said, I said, well, you know, he says, we'll have to drive there. So I'm not driving all the way there, you know. So let's get the train. Okay, we'll get the train. So we booked this train and we planned it ages before. And we were doing an open mic on the Thursday night in Olives in Leicester. We're staying at my mum's and then we're going to get the train and then the ferry from Holyhead, Dublin, train down to Thomas Down, do the first gig. That was the plan. Of course, it all went to shit, didn't it? We played the open mic in Olives on the Thursday, and we had a skinful. We went back to my mum's, and we invited a couple of friends back. We drank wine all night and had about an hour's sleep each, if that. And I just remember, like, being late, running down in the rain at 6 o'clock in the morning trying to get this train from Leicester Station. I think we missed, I think, every fucking train we were meant to get. We certainly missed the most important connections anyway. And I remember us being like, I think we were in like Stoke or somewhere like that, and we missed this connection. We were still pissed. We were still absolutely hammered from the night before. And there was this waitress there, and we were just in stitches because she was like a robot. She was just, you know, we were asking her questions, like, can I have a cup of tea? And it was just, it kind of set us off, really. We were just on one. Anyway, the weather was bloody terrible, and it got worse and worse as our journey continued. And when we got to Holyhead, the fast ferry that we were meant to catch had been cancelled. In fact, the weather was so bad, you could literally just see this, like, hurricanes blowing off the Irish Sea. And we were lucky, actually, that any bloody ferries were going at all. We were able to catch the slow ferry. So we're hanging around for ages waiting for this bloody ferry. We're probably trying to find a bar or something. But the hangover was just starting to kick in then, you know. We were starting to sober up a little bit from the night before. And Mark was wandering around, and he ended up chatting to this really strange kind of, like, traveller woman who was reading his fortune or something. But to cut a long story short, he came back, he goes, that bitch has nicked my wallet. And she was a pickpocket, and she nicked his wallet, so all his money was gone. So that wasn't very good. Anyway, we ended up getting on this ferry, and you can imagine what the sea was like. It was just really bad. It was like gale force winds. The hangovers were kicking in from the night before. And as we go across on the ferry, it literally was like a scene off the Titanic. Literally, there was just stuff flying from the shelves. You couldn't walk in a straight line across the boat. And we both started feeling so seasick. And I couldn't actually be sick. It was just that bad, getting out of the toilet. It was just awful. And I went to go and try and buy some seasick tablets from the shop. And they said, no, we haven't got that. But you've got these, like, weird wristbands you can put on the shop. They're like homeopathic things. I was like, just fucking give me two of them. And, of course, they didn't work. And, I mean, the whole idea was we were going to be on the ferry. We were going to have a few beers. We were going to chill out. We were going to walk across the deck. Irish Sea, looking forward to our gigs. And literally, it was like being in a scene of the Titanic. And we got to Dunleary, the port in Dublin. We were like, oh, bloody hell. You know, we were going to be really tight for our connection because we had a gig that following night. And we'd been travelling throughout the night. And we literally, I think we got in a taxi. We thought, right, we'll get a taxi so we can get to the station in time. And we got in a taxi, and we literally went about 15 minutes, and it was just solid gridlock. And the taxi driver said, he said, look, lads, you know, he says, you're better off getting the tram. I'll let you off at the tram here next stop. You jump on that, and you'll get to the station possibly in time for your connection. And we ended up getting on this tram, and we got the guitars, and we're like this, and it's rush hour, and we're like that, and we're just like green, feeling seasick and hungover. And we get to the station, and we miss the fucking connection, don't we? We miss that crucial connection by 5 minutes. So we get on the phone, and we say, Russ, what are we going to do? We've got this gig literally in a few hours. is there any chance you can pick us up for another station? And he says, all right, where is there? And there was one that was literally about an hour and a half drive for him. We got this train. I think we got a train to Carlo or somewhere like that. It was bloody miles away. And then Russ had to drive over, pick us up, these two hungover, bedraggled musicians who were good for nothing, really. Picked us up. He drove us to Thomastown. And we literally got to the gig, put our bags down. He says, right, lads, you're on now. We walked into the pub and we literally had 5 minutes to grab a pint. And, oh, God, we were just like, it was just unreal, you know. And I think our set went down reasonably well, but it was a kind of like an open mic thing and we were like the featured artist. John Martin wasn't there, by the way. But there was this little girl, and she was obviously very popular in the town. When I say little, she was just small in height, you know. And she had loads of mates there, and literally, they were just cheering her. In fact, during the end of our set, I think she previously played, they were just shouting, Shorty, 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 and they wanted her back on. So anyway, we went back to Russ's place, and we crashed out. I think we had a few drinks that night and something to eat, hopefully, I think. But when we woke up in the morning, Russ went, okay, lads, it's a beautiful day out here. And it was quite a nice sunny winter's day, you know, in Kilkenny. He goes, right, I'll take you for a drive, lads. And he had this Jeep, this Land Rover. I thought, this is great, Russ, this Jeep. And we're sitting in the back of it. He goes, yeah, you wait till you see this. And it just goes like that. And we end up going off-roading, and we're going like up really, really steep slopes, literally over rocks and things like that, tilting like that. Both of us just like fucking dying. You know, the Hangover Mark II had kicked in, and it was just so funny. It's just so funny that he thought that was a sensible thing to do, considering what we'd been through. So I don't know if we had another gig, but we ended up, the third night we were there, we ended up doing a gig in Dublin in the Cobblestone, and we got this gig through Ken. I did mention the Cobblestone. It's a pub that I stayed above when I was staying in Dublin doing some archaeology there. And we ended up doing playing in the back room with Russ's band as well, and I think another band as well. In the back room of this pub, the Cobblestone, and he had to go through to get a drink in the front bar. But the front bar, there was a traveller's wake on, so literally, it was just packed with real big bruisers who just were like staring at us as the minute we went to the bar. It just felt like the whole thing was going to kick off. I went back in, I says, Ken, what the bloody hell is going? It feels like it's going to kick off. He goes, oh, don't worry about that. He says, yeah, it's the wake. He says, as soon as they got there, there's these two families. He was chatting to one of the lads outside. He says, there's these two families. And, yeah, they didn't like each other. So as soon as they arrived, they had a big scrap and they sorted it out and everything's fine. He says, just go and get a drink. It'll be fine. And it was. Once we had that background information, we it was okay to go and get a drink at the bar without for fear of our lives. It was just so bizarre. And that was the last gig before we had to get the train back to the UK. So yeah, that was me and Mark's little excursion to Ireland, and I know he likes that story anyway. We also did a few gigs up north in this with our kind of residency, this gig up in I can't remember the name of the place now. It was up north, up near Beverley, begin with H, it will come to me anyway. And we used to go and stay at this hotel, do one or two nights there and then come back. And they're always really hospitable there, and it was never that busy there really, but we enjoyed going up there. We got the gig through some friends who used to drink at Olive's, and it was always a good time for a bit of a lock-in with Clem, who used to be the landlord there. And we used to stay out for a few drinks with him after we'd done our set. And it always gives a good breakfast the night the next day and things like that. But I remember one time we went up there and I was hammered. I was with the girl I was seeing at the time, Sonia, I think. And we'd gone to bed and Mark had stayed up all night with Clem. And and I remember going down in the morning and Clem goes, oh, can you just remind Mark to pay his tab when you can? And we weren't on the huge wage for this gig. I think we ended up with, like, I think Mark was on about like 80 quid or something like that once he got his share of it. And it turned out that all of the drinks that him and Clem had been having that Mark thought were complimentary, Clem had put onto a tap. And Mark had been very generous that night, buying everyone drinks. And his tab was about 68 quid or something. And I just remember this scream, Mark's partner, Tammy, just, for fuck's sake, Mark! It was just like, he spent all the money on booze. That's what it was like back then, you know. We just used to get ourselves in these situations, you know. But yeah, there was some funny times, but it was also like always a bit messy. It just did catch up with me eventually. I'm gonna do another song anyway. This is a song that we used to play with Sean quite a lot, actually, and it's an Energy Orchard cover. Again, if you've gone YouTube, you'll find a nice version of this. Sweet Irish Rose. Poured out his aching. Everyone knows the plans I've been making. You thought I was something, but you were mistaken. You thought I was something, but you were mistaken. Whatever it was, you know that it's gone, gone, gone. It's gone, gone, gone. It's gone, gone, gone. And it's gone. Sweet Irish Rose, but put out his aching. And nobody knows the plans I've been making. You were mistaken. Thought I was something now, but you were mistaken. Whatever it was, hell knows, but it's gone, gone, gone. It's gone, gone, gone. It's gone, gone, gone. And it's gone. So that's another song that sort of featured heavily in the set with Sean, and you can hear a good version of that on the Live at the Musician CD, DVD that's now been deleted that you can find somewhere in the store. Time's getting on now, isn't it? We're kind of like, let's just do a bit extra tonight because I do want to kind of like get up to date, really. We had some really good gigs, me and Mark did. We played at the Big Session. We played at Summer Sunday a couple of times. And we did actually, 2010, we got the band together. We called ourselves Stevie Jones and the Wildfires. And we did kind of like, it just seems a sort of one-off thing, really. And, you know, we sort of did it for Summer Sunday with view to maybe doing a few gigs, which we did a couple, but it kind of fell apart after that. And then we carried on being a duo again. So yeah, that was sort of 2010 when we had, it was Sean and myself, Mark, Andy Griffiths and Joe Burton on drums. And yeah, but yeah, got bloody messy at Summer Sunday that year. Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, we would start on the Wednesday and we would just drink all the way through until the Sunday. And it was, yeah, it wasn't good. I was in a right state, you know. By then it was, the drinking was like really catching up on me, you know. And it was the anxiety attacks that followed afterwards. And I wanted to stop. So I started going to counselling. At that point, my GP had recommended that I went to alcohol counselling. He said, your anxiety attacks won't disappear until you manage the alcohol better. And I was going to this really good counsellor, and I was doing a drink diary and trying to manage it and try and decrease it. And, you know, and I found it very hard to have one or two. I literally look at the drink diary, just suddenly rock it up again. It was, for me, it was like all or nothing. So I did have a couple of periods where I did kind of abstain and then fall off the wagon again, you know. There was one particularly dark time. I think it was when we were playing the big session. I'd been out in town in Leicester with my brothers. And they'd left me in town, and I said, "Oh, it's all right, leave me, lads." When they wanted to go, I'll be all right. And I was on my own. I was absolutely hammered, you know, drinking God knows what. And I did, you know, I wasn't in company, and I walked home on my own in the early hours, and I got mugged. And it was, you know, ended up in a police cell trying to give statements and stuff like that. It was awful. And I remember coming back. And telling Mark what happened to me, and he's like, "Bloody hell, mate!" He says, "That's terrific, you know." He says, "You've got to watch yourself." But he went out the following night and got absolutely leathered, and all the same weekend. It might have been the same weekend, but basically, he'd gone out absolutely leathered, can't remember anything, blacked out after the pub, and woke up at home. He phoned me up. That's right. He phoned me up. And says, "Come over." He says, "I've broken my fucking ankle. And I don't know how." And yeah, basically what happened is that he'd been to the pub in Kettering and he'd blacked out. But people have said that it was possibly a taxi had ran over his foot when he collapsed. You know, it wasn't, neither of us were in a good place. And I think we did one of those festivals around that time. I think it was the big session. And Mark was had his foot in... All strapped up or in cast. Yeah, but not good. But, you know, that's when the warning signs came in, and that's why I wanted to go to the counselling to sort of, you know, I didn't want things to get any uglier than they were already, really, you know. So 2011, that's when I finally quit the booze. And I've been through that before, quite earlier on, at the start of... start of this year, actually, when it was 10 years sober, and I explained about how I got my first tattoo, when I tattooed the date of when I packed up booze, the 10th of January 2011. And when I packed up then, I wrote this song, which I'll do for you now. Never bring me down, you can never control me, you can never catch me out, and you will never own me, and you will never take me down, you won't steal my thunder, and you will never come around in my quiet hours. 25 years took from me, have my soul and memory, and cry.
never call me up, and you will never want me. In the day and in the dark, you will never find me. We will never dance again, and you will never be my friend. Don't come knocking at my door, you're not welcome anymore. 25 years you took from me, half my soul and memory. And clarity gonna make me stronger. Don't come knocking at my door, you're not welcome anymore. Don't come knocking at my door, you're not welcome anymore, 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 anymore. You're not welcome anymore, 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 anymore. You're not welcome anymore. 25 years you took from me, half my soul and memory. Clarity's gonna make me stronger.
25 years. So yeah, I wrote that song the week that I finished it off anyway, the week that I packed up drinking. And it was a tough year really, 2011, because you know, I packed up drinking. Mark was kind of veering in a slightly different direction. He'd lost his drinking buddy, you know, and we started to do things a little bit differently. You know, not completely. We were still doing quite a lot, but we were going in different directions. You know, I was getting sober and I was concentrating more on Wildfire Sessions. By then, I'd set up as a company. I was running loads of open mics, showcases, and being an agent. He kind of taken a more of a backseat role with that, and he was settling down. As a family man, with Tammy. I think they got married that year or the following year. So yeah, we were going in slightly different directions, but we still had some good gigs. We supported Justin and Dean from New Model Army, Justin Sullivan, Dean White, that year. We also won some time to record at Yellow Bean Studios. In Leicester, we won it when we appeared at Summer Sunday in a raffle. Well, I won it, and I never win anything, but it was such a great prize. And we went in there and we recorded it at Jono's studio, and that's where the album 11th Hour, which is here somewhere.
I haven't got a copy of it here. Where's it gone?
Anyway, there is a copy somewhere. Here it is. 11th Hour. You can buy a CD of it. It's a really, really good album. It's also on Spotify and Bandcamp to check out as well. You know, all streaming sites if you're not a CD type person. But yeah, it's 7 tracks, and took 25 years was on it, and we recorded that without studio time. And very, very proud of that. So we did that. And then we had an album launch at the end of the year at St. Andrew's Church in Leicester. In fact, we didn't know what the album was going to be called around that time, but we wanted to release it and pick the date. It was the 11th of the 11th, 2011. and the album was called 11th Hour. And it all just hung in together. And it was a really good launch gig, actually. And we had, I think Kenny Nash was on the bill, a few other people as well. There's some video footage somewhere, I think, from that night. But yeah, but that was the last gig that me and Mark did around that time, for a good while. That launch gig. I think we might have played New Year's Eve, I think, but it was certainly the last big original show we did, I think, for quite some time, because he was going off in his direction and I was like going off in mine. Because the following year, I remember it was the first year anniversary birthday gig at the same venue for Wildfire Sessions, and Mark didn't come, you know, which is really bizarre, but, you know, that's how we were going in different directions. But you know, we're still really, really good friends now, and I'm lucky we can still collaborate, and that's never been a problem. It's just that was the point where our kind of like decade of playing together came to sort of, it changed completely, but it gave me a chance to focus on the Wildfires, which I did, and that's a complete different chapter altogether, which I will go into next time. So, I did say on my post when I was advertising this that I was going to play a new track, which not many of you heard. Hillary, such a lovely song. Very proud of you, and what a lot of great songs you've written since. Thank you very much, Hillary. Thanks for the support. Chris Donnerstag, thanks for tuning in. I can see there's 5 other people watching at the moment. There is actually a delay with this thing, so there could be less or more. Who knows? But yeah, I'm going to play this new song for you. I can get it to work. So yeah, this is a song recorded at the Blue Moon in Cambridge, and as I said previous weeks, if you donate anything in the tip jar or you buy anything during these streams, I will send you the 13 track bootleg album of our show, the Wildfires show, recorded at the Blue Moon Cambridge, which is a great show, and this is a track off it. And I'll just give you a little bit of background. The song is written, it's kind of the flip side of stratigraphic art. Stratigraphic art was written from the perspective of being an archaeologist, and this song that I'm about to play you is called False Gods, and it's all about development, really, and how development is completely fucking up the countryside, and certainly around North Hants. You know, if you drive a few miles and you'll see acres and acres that just been ripped up, and they're building up these big monstrosities of empty warehouses, and it's all corrupt, it's all bullshit, we don't need them. It's not like they're creating thousands and thousands of jobs and companies are rushing in there. A lot of these places are just sitting there empty anyway. It's just short-term cash for the council who are in trouble. And you know, so ironically, archaeologists may be involved in many instances actually doing the preliminary work before these horrible warehouses can be built. And I wanted to write about that. It really upset me, and I wanted to write about the nature, and I wanted to write about the developers and the whole thing, and just how it all stinks, really. And yeah, this is called False Gods, and it's a live version. It's the full band, Blooming in Cambridge. If you like it, donate, and you'll be able to have this and the whole album. Live album. Here we go. Thank you. Gods, do check out Save Weekly Allwood campaign if you can, which is trying to protect Weekly Allwood, one of the areas near Kesham, it's very close to my heart, that is doing a great job protesting against it, and that song's for them. Well, I hope you all have a good Christmas anyway. Thank you for tuning in. And if you're watching this retrospectively, thank you for tuning in. Remember, you can watch any of these previous streams on the website, steviejones.com/livestreams. All the episodes are there. There's loads of songs and banter about my murky past is on there. And you can watch them anytime. You know, if there's any that you missed, just dip in there and have a look. Once again, thanks for all your help. In the previous months, I'm going to do hopefully another show on the Monday the 27th. Hopefully, I shall be back here doing another show. There's a chance I might be in Norfolk seeing my dad then, but we'll have to see. But let's play that one by ear. But in the meantime, have a great Christmas. Thanks for tuning in, and above all, stay safe. All the best.